You know that sound? That weekend sound? Lawnmowers buzzing, sprinklers going.
Very familiar.
Sounds, well, peaceful, right? But what if it's actually, kind of a quiet war on nature?
It's interesting, isn't it? The whole idea of the perfect lawn, it's not natural at all. It's a cultural thing that actually goes back to European aristocrats basically showing off wealth with these huge grassy areas that didn't produce anything.
Okay, so a status symbol. And then after World War II, it became this like middle class dream.
Exactly. We even adopted it here in Australia, despite our climate often being totally wrong for it.
So that's what this deep dive is about today. We want to unpack the hidden costs, because that standard lawn, it's a real liability environmentally and for public health too.
Yeah, and importantly, we want to look at a more, let's say, life-affirming alternative, something vibrant instead of just green carpet.
Okay, so this liability idea. Where do we start digging into the environmental impact?
Well, a good place is just thinking about what a lawn is. Scientists, CSIRO, for instance, they call it a virtual desert for insects.
A desert,
Yeah, it's a monoculture. So basically, no food, no shelter for most native wildlife. Think about specific insects, like certain butterflies or bees. They need particular plants. A lawn offers nothing.
just grass. And besides not supporting life, they take a lot to maintain, don't they? The
Oh,
resources.
absolutely massive drain. They are incredibly thirsty. A typical U.S. lawn might use the water equivalent of like 800 showers a year.
800 showers, that's
It
huge.
really is. And in some places, lawns can account for maybe up to 50% of a household's water use. And then there's the energy.
For mowing and things.
Yeah, gasoline just spills from refueling lawn equipment. In the U.S. alone, we're talking millions of gallons annually, something like 17 million gallons.
Okay, so water, energy, what else?
Well, that leads straight into the chemicals. Homeowners often use per acre something like 10 times more chemical pesticides on lawns than farmers use on crops.
10 times. Seriously.
Yeah. And these chemicals plus extra fertilizers, they don't just stay on the lawn, they wash off.
Into drains, rivers.
Exactly, into waterways. And that causes eutrophication, basically, dead zones. It doesn't take much phosphorus, for example, to fuel huge amounts of algae.
And there are direct health worries for people too, right? Like with
And
glyphosate.
that's a contentious one. You've got regulatory bodies saying one thing, maybe unlikely to be carcinogenic, but then the WHO's cancer agency, IARC, classifies it as probably carcinogenic. So there's debate. But we do know it harms ecosystems. It can mess up the gut microbes of honeybees, making them weaker against other problems.
Which brings us neatly to pollinators, then. This whole lawn thing is basically habitat destruction for them.
Pretty much. You've got insecticides that kill them directly, herbicides that wipe out food sources like, dandelions or clover, which people see as weeds.
Right, things bees actually need.
Exactly. And then there are systemic pesticides, neonicotinoids, that make the whole plant poisonous to them. It all weakens bee populations.
Making them more vulnerable to things like that varroa mite, the one found in New South Wales a couple of years back.
Precisely. The Varroa destructor. It's devastating. So yeah, the lawn situation makes bees much less resilient to threats like that. It's like a quiet crisis in our suburbs.
Okay, that's pretty grim. But you mentioned alternatives. There's good news here.
Absolutely. Thinking about replacing your lawn, even part of it, is a genuine act of ecological regeneration. You're bringing life back.
And it's not just about the planet, right? There are benefits for you personally.
Definitely multifaceted. Ecologically, you create food and homes for wildlife. You boost biodiversity, improve your soil, help soak up rainwater.
And financially, less water, presumably.
Much less. Gardens can use, what, up to two-thirds less water than lawns? Plus, you save on all those recurring costs, chemicals, fuel, maybe lawn services.
And then there's well-being, growing things, even some veggies.
Huge benefits. Food security, for one. Fresh, nutrient-dense foods, saving money. Plus, gardening itself is good exercise, known to reduce stress.
And community gardens, too, they seem to be popping up more.
Yeah, great examples, like in South Philadelphia or Australia's own community greening program. They become these wonderful third places, building connections.
It's scaling up too beyond just homes, like in Sydney.
Sydney's doing some great work with urban greening, like rooftop gardens. They cool the city, filter water, create habitat. There's this one building, Duramu House, with a biosolar roof. They found the plants cooled the solar panels so much that energy generation went up over 100%.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's not just individuals, governments are getting involved.
They are. Local governments are starting to incentivize this shift. things like cash for grass rebates. You see that in Sacramento, city of Subiaco.
Right.
Brisbane offering free native plants. Expert advice programs like Randwick's Native Havens. Grants for community projects like in the ACT. It's building momentum.
So pulling this all together for someone listening, choosing to change your lawn, even a little bit, it's more than just gardening, isn't it?
It really is. You could see it as almost a political act, a tangible vote for biodiversity, for cleaner water, for resilience in your own community.
You're actively making space for life to come back.
Exactly.
And let's be honest, who actually enjoys mowing the lawn every single week?